Shabbat Shalom and Chodesh Tov. When Beyoncé's fifth album came out, I listened to it obsessively. I couldn't get over the songs that contained powerful feminist messages about the worth of women and our right to self-determination. I was so excited about her empowering words, and I wanted to share. I played a track for my mom that contained the lyric, "I'm a grown woman and I can do whatever I want." I was crestfallen when she didn't completely love it. And I asked why. She said, "Nobody should do whatever they want." Now, far be it from me to criticize Beyoncé, but there was truth to what my mom said. Of course, Beyoncé was talking about women breaking out of the mold of societal expectations and the very real constraints felt even by women as powerful as she. But my mom was thinking about the personal responsibility of every individual, regardless of their status or position, to consider more than their own wants and needs. This very question is taken up by Moses in this week's Parsha, Re'eh. Lo ta'asun kechol asher anachnu osim po hayom, ish kol hayashar be'enav. You shall not do as we do here and now, each person acting as they please. Moses tells the Israelites, you cannot just do whatever you want, whenever you want. You must not. The key phrase here is, ish kol hayashar be'enav, each person according to their view. Rabbi Eliyahu ben Shlomo, the Vilna Gaon, understands this as a person acting out of self-interest, as opposed to what is good for the community. The medieval commentator Bechor Shor takes this notion even further. He describes a scenario in which Israelites would fulfill their obligation to bring tithes and offerings, but they would bring them to local sanctuaries instead of the Mishkan, the tabernacle that served the entire people. To do so would be to the detriment of the Mishkan, and thus to the Israelites as a whole. The key critique here is that if we act only according to our own notion of what is best, we may cause others to suffer. This is one explanation for Deuteronomy's strong emphasis on the commandment to worship at a centralized sanctuary. The phrase, Hamakom asher yivchar Adonai, the place that God has chosen, appears 12 times in this parsha alone. Again and again, this phrase is repeated, reinforcing the importance of the message, Lo ta'asun ish kol hayashar be'enav. You must not only do what you think is right, you must not do whatever you please. But lest you think that the Torah is speaking against the notion of free will, we need look no further than the first verse of the Parsha. Re'eh, anochi noten lifneichem hayom bracha uklala. See, I set before you on this day blessing and curse. God is offering us a choice, laying out the options and leaving it to us to decide. This theme is reiterated throughout Deuteronomy. The Israelites are issued commandments and directives, yes, but are also told with great clarity that the choice is in our hands. So why are we given this choice? What is the point of mitzvot, of the commandments, if we can decide to do them or not to do them? Again, the parasha provides an answer. Ki am kadosh ata l'Adonai Elohecha, uvecha bachar Adonai lihiot lo le'am skula. For you are a people consecrated to your God, who has chosen you from among all the peoples of the earth to be God's cherished people. This is a powerful declaration that Israel is God's chosen people, Am Skula, a cherished people, a privileged people. But it still doesn't mean we get to do whatever we want. The Torah makes it quite clear that we receive reward based not on our affiliation, but on our behavior. If we follow the commandments, it will go well with us and our descendants. If we provide for the needy, if we abandon idolatry, if we contribute to the community, if we make ethical food decisions, if we this, if we that. The key message is that Israel's status confers privilege, not entitlement. As Am Skula, God's cherished people, God is positively disposed to Israel. But we do not receive blessing simply by being. God's favor is conditional, contingent on what we do. This is the critical difference between privilege and entitlement. A person has privilege if they have a particular advantage or derive some benefit from their status or situation. This is a fairly neutral term. Entitlement, on the other hand, can be defined as the belief that one is more deserving than others based on that privilege. I expect this phenomenon is recognizable to all of us in one form or another. So many of the ills that plague our society and civilization have at their root a sense of entitlement. Racism and white supremacism, misogyny, rape culture, homophobia, transphobia, hatred of the poor, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, persecution of immigrants, every kind of bigotry that poisons humanity thrives on the notion that one group is deserving of privilege while others are not. Our Torah vehemently disagrees with this. Practically in one breath, our text tells us that we, Israel, are a privileged people, but that we must never act with entitlement. This seems like a clear and fairly simple message, but if it were really so easy to heed, the Torah would not have to repeat the idea so many times. Because even if we are on board with the principle, it may require practice to embody it. Fortunately, we are provided with many opportunities to practice, to do a spiritual audit of our beliefs and our actions, our principles and our deeds. It is no coincidence that this parasha falls on the same day that we observe Rosh Chodesh Elul. Parshat Re'eh reminds us of our privilege and warns us against entitlement at the very time of year that we are invited to start the process of Teshuvah. Elul is the month that precedes Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Judgment, and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And it starts right now as the sun is setting. This is a special time when we prepare ourselves for these sacred days by engaging in Teshuvah. This is the process of self-examination by which we identify how we can be the very best versions of ourselves and strive to manifest it. It is a time of reconciliation, first with ourselves, then with each other, and ultimately with God. This is a time when God's mercy and compassion are heightened. It is said that on Rosh Chodesh Elul, God tells Moses, who broke the first set of tablets, to ascend Mount Sinai once more and receive a second set. So we learn that Elul is a time when God is especially receptive to our teshuvah, to our repentance. The rabbis teach that the month of Elul, spelled Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, is an acronym for the phrase Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. We, Israel, are God's beloved, and God is ours. We are not entitled to do whatever we want, and we are certainly not forgiven without demonstrating contrition. But the privilege we enjoy as Am Skula, as God's beloved people, is that when we do atone, when we apologize and make amends, when we change our ways and shed that which constrains our best selves, God will accept our teshuva readily and with love.